Welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I'm joined by MetPro lead sports dietitian and coach Bianca Wagner. We are going to be discussing black and white thinking. Bianca, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Crystal. It's always so much fun to be on these podcasts with you, and all of our topics are always so enjoyable to speak on. So I'm definitely happy to be here.
I definitely am looking forward to this one. And I am familiar with what black and white thinking is. I think a lot of people are, but there's probably some people out there that are like, what does that even mean? So I'm curious if we can just start there. What exactly is that?
Yeah, great question. So all or nothing thinking or black and white thinking is really when a person sees situations into extreme terms. So one extreme or the other without recognizing the gray areas or the nuances. So for example, categorizing is basically what it comes down to. So labeling things as good as bad or right or wrong, success or failures, and that can lead to rigid thinking. And it doesn't allow for a balanced view of complex issues. Yeah, it's definitely a big topic.
Yeah. So obviously that can affect, I can think of a million different topics that could bleed over into. But when we're talking about like health and fitness and your well-being, can you give us maybe some examples like when people are doing that and how it shows up, how it manifests itself?
Yes, I can say one of the most popular things I've been hearing lately from a big amount of my clients is if I don't track 100% in the MetPro app, I'm a failure. My day is ruined or my day has been totally thrown off because I had something off plan. And that is really just like a pure prime example of black and white thinking. It's basically either one way or the other. If I do something in the gray area, if I have a meal that's a little off plan, then that means my whole day was off. But again, like those are some of the things that when you're using words like always or never or perfect or disaster, those describe situations without considering the middle ground or the gray area.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. When it comes to tracking specifically, is there a way to look at it and say this percentage is a good place to approach maybe?
Yeah, I think that's a nice way to put it. For instance, like if somebody is going on vacation, you have to assume that things aren't going to be perfect because they won't be. You're on vacation. You're trying to rejuvenate and you're trying to relax. I try to give at least like a good estimate of a number, maybe 80%. Maybe you have one meal that's off plan and that's still very much achievable. And that makes someone feel successful, not so much, oh, I either did it or I won't do it. And again, labeling those things as, okay, if we can do 80%, if we can do 70%, that still counts as successful. And that can be really helpful to most people in the way that they don't feel discouraged.
Yeah, absolutely. I like to put it in terms of letter grades because yeah. I have been accused of being a bit rigid and black and white. And yeah. So I like to, if 100% is an A, 80% is a B, and 70% while on vacation as a C, I am down for. I am okay with that.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's also food is such an emotional thing. And so when you, it can lead to a lot of guilt and feelings of not feeling like, you know, enough or even worthlessness sometimes if you eat food that you like but deem it as not good for you. So, you know, that brings another whole situation up too. But I think just like knowing that, like the balance part of it, which takes, this is not something that you can develop overnight. It's a habit or a way of thinking that doesn't develop overnight. It happens over a long period of time. So yeah, it's definitely important for us as coaches and for clients as well to know that there is like gray area in between. And it doesn't have to be all or nothing.
Okay. You brought up something. You said good or bad. And I hear people talk about good and bad when it comes to food all the time. Is yeah. that considered another area of that black and white thinking or the all or nothing thinking?
Yes, because labeling food as good or bad, it results in this negative and positive associations with food. And then in turn, it can lead someone to make you believe that you're either a good or a bad person, depending on the food that you eat. And that's totally not true. If I go out and have Chick-fil-A chicken nuggets and fries, I don't think that means I'm a bad person. I think it just means that I want Chick-fil-A nuggets and some fries. And we're in a culture right now where there are just so many fad diets and there's so many terminizations like thrown around or terms thrown around that it can be really easy to believe that the food that you eat is equal to who you are. And it's very much not true.
Wow. No, that's a really good point. Now, when it comes to nutrition in general, do people also approach it sometimes with an all or nothing? Like, I know that some people have all different kinds of a way of approaching their diets. And so I'm just curious if there are like these guidelines that people impose on themselves when it comes to nutrition.
Yes. What I see often is, you know, an extreme dieting or strict dieting versus no restriction whatsoever. And the hardships with both, with strict dieting, that can lead to a lot of yo-yo dieting and weight loss, weight gain, which can really put someone's metabolism in jeopardy and also involve a lot of emotional hardships, physically, mentally, things like that. And then no restriction. If you have a goal in mind, it's going to be really hard to meet that goal, no matter what that goal is, if there's zero restriction. And finding that balance in between where it's not extreme yo-yo dieting or strict dieting or not total eating whatever you want. If you have a goal, there has to be some type of guidelines, I guess is a good loose way to put it, guidelines. And we don't have to label it as strict dieting or whatnot. It's a lifestyle change is really what it is.
No, that makes a lot of sense. So it's okay to have I'm going to use your example, the Chick-fil-A nuggets and fries, because it overall I'm eating healthy. I'm eating whole foods. I'm eating fresh vegetables. I'm eating fresh fruit. And so every once in a while I might have a craving for some Chick-fil-A and I can have that and that's okay. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's important also to you to honor those cravings, because sometimes those cravings can end up turning into maybe for some people like binges. And again, that brings a lot of guilt, a lot of like emotional aspect to that. And so it is okay to honor your cravings. Now, this is not me saying, okay, go out and have, you know, like 10 chocolate bars or something like that. And that's me honoring my cravings. Something like something small, dark chocolate, if that's what people like, or like some type of food that somebody just maybe wanting, their body may be wanting. So yeah, it is very important in that aspect to stray away from, okay, I can either have it or I can't, because that does involve, again, the all or nothing. So trying to find that happy medium in between.
You talk about craving. Something, as I've been training for my marathon, something I've been craving so often is macaroni and cheese, which I know sounds yeah. so silly. So I've been having like, I'll have Amy's frozen macaroni and cheese, or I'll have mm-hmm. the, I'll have the veggie mac and cheese that you can get from the yeah. grocery store. But like, it has been like an all encompassing craving. And I'm like, I need to your yeah. point, I need to honor that, because my body needs the carbs to do the running. So you got to listen.
Oh, absolutely. Not only are you in training for a serious marathon and you're probably burning far more calories than you think, but also you have to think of caloric expenditure per week. So if your body is craving carbohydrates or a little bit of saltiness or salty foods, that's very realistic. When your body's burning carbohydrates, it needs that glycogen in order to fuel, as we know. In return, your body will be craving some type of carbohydrates, and yours just happens to be macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese is great too, because it has a little bit of sodium from the cheese, and you're losing so much sodium from sweating when you are training. Again, your body will tell you what it needs.
Okay, that makes me feel better for my cravings. What? Yeah. Now, do you ever see this black and white thinking or all or nothing thinking manifest itself when it comes to workouts?
Absolutely. Exercise is very common. And for some people, they will just really not make it a priority at all. So it's no exercise at all if I can't do a 45-minute or a 60-minute intensive workout. And for some people, it's just not realistic. Some people have very busy lives, families or jobs or hobbies, whatever it may be. And I think from that aspect, 15 minutes of exercise, and we spoke about it the other day, 15 minutes, 20 minutes can make so much of a difference for mentality, for endorphins, for starting off your day in a really great way. And I think there's a lot of positive that can come from 15 to 20 minutes of a workout versus nothing at all. So yes, as far as workouts go, you know, again, reframing that mindset of, geez, if I can only do 5 or 10 minutes, I don't think I can do it at all because it's not good enough. It is good enough. It is. And it does mean something.
Oh, that is really, I think so many people need to hear that because that's something I struggled with for a long time. If it's not 45 minutes, it doesn't count.
Right. Yeah. And hey, if you have time for a 45 minute workout, awesome. Like that's a really huge win. For the most part, a lot of us are really busy and we've got a lot of things going on and we may not always have time for that crazy vigorous workout. And that's okay too. Heck, 5 to 10 minutes of yoga, 5 to 10 minutes of literally walking on a treadmill, taking a walk around the neighborhood while you're walking your dog very quickly. Those are all really good ways to get in movement. And that certainly counts for sure.
Awesome. Okay. So now I think we've got a really good idea of what this looks like and how it can manifest itself in different ways. But how can we possibly go about changing our behavior patterns if we notice that we're doing this in any of these categories?
And again, this is something that happens over a period of time, which coaching can really help with, especially if you have like a coach who's really just trying to support you and change those habits and that way of thinking. It will not happen in just 1 or 2 days where you wake up and you're like, you know what? I'm going to look at the gray area today. But, you know, just really trying to understand that there are no failures in one aspect or the other. And it's not a weakness if you are in that gray area where you're not doing a crazy extreme strict dieting versus no restriction, or again, 5 to 10, 15 minute workout versus 60 minute workout. There's no weakness in doing one or the other. And just meeting yourself also for like where you are, because where we are right now could be somewhere completely different this time next year, next week, a month from now. I mean, going into holiday season, that's going to be very different from January. So it's important to give ourselves grace in meeting yourself where you are. And we're always so, I mean, I think as human beings, sometimes we can be very hard on ourselves and critical too. So give ourselves some grace a little bit. Like it's going to be okay. And just knowing also too that we can't change everything at once, and that's not expected. The only thing that's ever expected is what we expect of ourselves. And so just knowing that it's not going to happen overnight.
Oh, I definitely, as I said, have struggled with this. And I know my therapist often says to me, she's okay, it doesn't have to be like you go from feeling about anything really great or really bad. Like sometimes the answer is you feel neutral and that's a win. And it's kind
of right. Yeah, exactly. If you're scratching your head and you're in the middle, I think that's a pretty good place to be, right? And with lots of gray area, to your point, it doesn't come easy for everyone. If somebody has a personality where it has to be one way or the other, it is not going to come that easy. And that's okay too. And to piggyback off of what you mentioned, it's okay to seek therapy too. Heck, that's a great place to start too.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times food or exercise can be very emotionally loaded and often connected to things that are below the surface that yes. You're not necessarily connecting to like in an obvious way. Therapy can definitely be helpful. What about flexibility? Is that something we should seek to work toward?
Yeah, absolutely. Moderation is very important. It's part of what we were speaking on earlier, the cravings. The moderation aspect of it is really important because you get to honor yourself, you get to honor your body, but it still gives us that aspect of gray area or balance. And when you are able to work up to balance and, okay, having a healthy meal for breakfast and lunch, having a healthy snack, maybe dinner, I'm going out to eat with family or friends. And having that flexibility is going to make someone probably, if not more successful than versus strict or all or nothing.
I used to go out to dinner, and because I wouldn't go out a lot, we would save it as a treat. And I used to approach it where it was like, okay, maybe I'll have dessert. I'm definitely having the bread. Ooh, I think I want to have a drink too. And I have started approaching it more as a, what sounds like the most exciting to me, whether that's a drink right. or that's the bread, pick one thing exactly. and have that, no guilt.
That's a really great way to look at it. And again, it's like you still get that treat. You still get to indulge a little bit, but we don't have to have everything. We don't have to have the dessert, the drink, and the bread. I'm not saying you can't have that, but just in general, it's nice to be able to have that balance of one or the other, and then you still feel pretty good the next day. And it's part of what makes us successful to achieving a certain goal is that, again, you still get to have something, but maybe you don't have everything that night. Or if you have multiple nights where you're going out to eat for whatever reason, same thing. Have one special thing per night with your meal, but maybe not all three or four of them. And that's still allowing flexibility.
Yeah. It's interesting because when you think of, when you first look at the subject of black and white or all or nothing, it's like you think of it in these big chunks of things, and you can start to see as we talk through it that it can be nuanced within the nuance, right? Yes, right. I will go out to dinner, and yes, I will treat myself, but I also can choose how I treat myself and how much, and right. That's all nuance. And to somebody who struggles, that can sound very foreign, but it's a lot easier said than done for some people. And it takes practice. So back to your point that you're not going to be able to change everything at once, but all good things to look at.
Right. Exactly. And I think there's a lot of power to be given to someone that does typically think in that black or white perspective. There's a lot of power to be given in that it is not easy, especially if you're a very structured person. If you're not a structured person, okay, then there's lots of gray area, but we also want to make sure that there's a tiny bit of structure, right? Because that's what helps achieve goals. But at the same time too, it is important to listen to your body, tune into what your body needs, especially at that time. And just knowing that having that balance is the gray area, and it does take time for sure.
Okay. That's awesome advice. Is there anything that we didn't cover you wanted to make sure that we touched on today?
I think the biggest thing here would just be, if you can take anything from this podcast, it would be that your failures do not come from black or white thinking, right? They come from sometimes like within ourselves, and that is not a failure at all. Essentially, it's not a weakness to go one way or the other or in between. There's a lot of power to be given in what you allow for yourself to do. Give yourself some grace and just meet yourself with where you are. And just know that, again, this takes time. It can be a little bit of a struggle, and we all struggle with it. It's not just one person. Everybody has like their own thing. And I think everybody struggles with this in one way or another. Some people a bit more, and some people maybe a little bit less, but that doesn't mean that they don't struggle with other areas too.
Excellent advice. Thank you so much for your time today, Bianca. Before we let you go, would you like to share where you can be found if people have questions?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at fitfoodiecravings_RD. And you can also find me on metpro.co, and I'd be more than happy to chat with you.
Wonderful. All right, listeners, that's all for this week. You can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what they can expect from the show. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.